In chapter 2, verse 10, just two opposed the work. In chapter 2, verse 17, only three opposed the work. Now we have a multitude opposing the work. In other words, organized resistance. Why? Because critics and those who ridicule always run in packs.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and welcome. This week on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's study from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah continues. And today, Pastor concludes the message, "When opposed, keep working." Now, let's join the study.
We know who we are. We are children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. Amen? We've been adopted. Now listen, you know, here's the deal. Now we can't pray like Nehemiah because Nehemiah was under the old covenant when you could pray, kill those people. We can't pray that way now because we're under a new covenant. Do you understand? And a better covenant with a better mediator and better promises. Our Lord. So what do? Whenever we are attacked like that and we're opposed and ridiculed and cut down and maybe even in the fired from our jobs because we're a believer, Paul tells us in Romans 12:17, he says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it's possible," and sometimes it's not, "but if it possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" So God takes personal revenge out of our hands. He says, "I'll handle it. I can do a much better job than you anyway." And he says, "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him." Doesn't say what to feed him, but feed him. "If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, here's what you will do. You will heap coals of fire on his head." I don't know what that means, but it must be pretty good. So all I know is when I don't do that, I'm going, "Well, buddy, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love you, but you better be ready because there's getting ready to be a hot, hot head coming, okay? That's all I know. "Do not," it says, "and do not be overcome or conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good." You know, hostility, people who ridicule you, we repay them with love because love never fails. Do you understand? Love doesn't always win, but love never fails. I was speaking with the youth pastors earlier tonight, and I said, "You know what?" I said, Radical Christianity is real Christianity. Amen? When you're radical, say, "That's what God said to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do exactly what he says because he commands us to do it." Now, it says in 1 Peter 2:15, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." The word "put to silence" means literally muzzle them. In other words, when they see your actions are literally your action, my action, by the way we walk with God, should so stun people that it literally leaves them speechless. They don't have anything to say. What can they say when they see the power of God and the goodness of God working in your hearts and in your lives? Amen? He says, now, you know, one of the greatest tests of leadership is how do you handle opposition? How do you handle criticism? You know, concerning our Lord, it says in 1 Peter 2:21, he says this, "For this to you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, when he was ridiculed, when he was mocked, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he didn't threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Listen, the greatest thing we can do whenever we're faced with opposition and criticism is let God handle the case. turn it over to the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. Amen? No one's going to get away with anything. No one. Everyone will give an account of what they do. And what's so sad is that some leaders and some Christians, if we've all been there, the criticism and the opposition becomes so bad, they literally just fall apart. And that's a bad place to be, loved one. You know, can I tell you something tonight? It costs to be a leader. Don't ever kid yourself. I mean, it costs to be a leader. You're going to be opposed. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be slandered. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. No leader, and let me say this, and no Christian is exempt from those things. You're not exempt. Being a Christian doesn't make, okay, I am totally protected from that. No, loved one, that's not it at all. Now, listen to me, though. Not all criticism is wrong if it's done with a genuine heart, right? I'm talking about constructive criticism. You know, when someone criticizes me and they do it constructively, I always, honest to God, I want to know. Tell me. I'm very teachable. Man, I don't want to mess up. You know, like I was telling you about D.L. Moody. Remember what D.L. Moody did? He was untrained. He never had been ordained. And he never graduated from high school. I think he had about a 6th or 7th grade education. He couldn't speak English properly. And he never had been trained in the Word of God. He would sit in front of pastors that were teaching, and he would interrupt them in the service. And he would go, oh, my, oh, my. That just messed up my sermon. I have to throw it out. Now, I was totally wrong. That's how he learned. Are you listening to me? And some would finally sit down and help and explain the way on tough, difficult passages. He didn't go, don't be critical of me. See, good criticism helps us. You know, the thing is that a leader's humility is never, listen now, a leader's humility is never more on trial as when you are being criticized. You hear me? Oh, that is a true word. You know, the leadership we're going through right now, the servant leaders, through J. Oswald Sanders' classic book on spiritual leadership, has sold over 1 million copies. It's been in my library since the early 70s, one of the greatest, I consider, books on leadership ever. And you know what he says? He says this, no leader is exempt from criticism, and his humility will no be more seen more clearly than in the manner in which he accepts it or reacts to it. A great preacher, Samuel Bingle, he was being criticized, horribly criticized. They were just beating him crazy. And listen to what he said. He came to the person, said, listen, from my heart, I thank you for your rebuke. I think I deserved it. Will you, my friend, remember me in prayer? Now, what's that person going to do now? Do you understand? Or if you say, if you start retaliating, you know, are you going to get an argument? Yeah. In other words, okay, did I mess up? Am I wrong? Well, here, thank God that you love me enough to come to me, even though they're being critical, you know, for the wrong reason. You understand? And you just love them. And you say, thank you. Listen, you know, if you knew the people that stopped me after services and said things to me about what I taught all through my ministry, you wouldn't believe it. It's like, I have people follow me around. You quoted that scripture wrong. Well, hello, okay? How do you even spell it, will you, you know? I mean, come on. You know, it's crazy the things that people do. You know, listen, never mind, I don't want to get there. You know, but I mean, the radio listeners, you know, and I love the radio listeners. You that are listening live right now all over, I love you. But some of you are great. You know what I mean? No. So look here now. Before I get in trouble, go to verse 6. I love this part. Verse 6. So what does Nehemiah said? So we quit. So we gave up. The opposition, the criticism, the ridicule, it was just too much for us. Is that what he said? No, look what he said. So we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together. Watch this now. It was halfway built, half of its height. Why? For the people had a mind to work. Listen, Nehemiah prayed, but look what else he did. This is so important for leaders. Nehemiah prayed, but he also stayed on the job. He kept working. Listen, when opposition happens, whatever you do, don't stop what you're doing. Don't stop working for God. Don't quit and lay down. Don't be a sissy. Sissy. Do you understand? No, don't do that. Listen, if you do that, they have won. It says, for the people had a mind to work. I love that. You know what that means? They put all of their heart into what they were doing. You remember last Wednesday night, you know, how they all, he put, what was it, 38 different families and leaders all together from six or seven different villages all the way around. They were restoring the gates. They were building the walls and so forth. Incredible what God was doing through them because they had a mind to work. Now listen, Calvary, it says, so we built the wall. There's the key right there. You know, listen, I am so thankful for all that we have. I am so thankful for all that God has done in the last 25 years in this place. Amen? I mean, I'm thankful. But you know something? I'm going to say this, and don't take it out of context, and please don't misunderstand or misconstrue what I'm about to say. But you know what? With all that we do have, may I say to you today with the things that they say you have to have? You know, for example, you know, we don't need a massive internet presence, and I'm glad we have it. Don't get me wrong. But we don't really need it. Do you understand? I mean, oh, Lord, listen, we don't need to be a cool church. What is a cool church? I hear that all the time. Or, is it? Or you know, we don't need to be culturally relevant. What does that mean? I think the Word of God is always relevant. Do you understand? We don't need to be a church that, well, we're here, man, we entertain. Go to that church. You're going to have a great time. What is that? We don't need a famous pastor. You already have one, but no. You don't need a famous pastor. And you know what? We don't need to compromise. We don't need to water down God's truth. You know what we need? The church needs workers on the wall. That's all that we need. We need all of us. If we just need a mind, a heart that says, we're all going to work, and we're all going to work together. Listen to me. I say this in tenderness without any judgment, but just only from my own perspective. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think that the 21st century church needs to stop trying to make Christianity popular. Do you understand? I mean, listen, you come to Christ and everything's going to be great. No, you're going to be hated if you come to Christ. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. People are going to disown you. Your friends are going to walk out upon you. Even your parents might even turn against you. What is this in our generation now? I'm old enough to know. Trying to make Christianity popular. No, listen. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be made fun of in high school, junior high school, college, in the workplace, in any place. You're going to be made fun and mocked. No, the church, the 21st century church needs to stop trying to make Christianity positive. You come to the Lord, all your troubles are going to be over. No, Jesus said, here's a promise from Jesus. You know what? You're going to have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. You're never going to be sick. You're all going to be rich. Everybody's going to drive a Corvette. No, listen. You know, we don't have to make the gospel more appealing. It already is appealing because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Amen? It is already powerful. We don't have to make it appealing. It already, the Word of God activates and goes into someone's heart, and it already does its job. No, loved one, listen, the church needs workers on the wall. Jesus said, listen, he said, you know what? You want to be a believer? You want to be a disciple? What did he say in Luke 9:23? He said, if anyone, whoever you are, desires, craving in their heart, if anyone desires to come after me, he says, here are the things you have to do by my power, by my grace. He said, you have to deny yourself. You no longer call the shots. It's not your plan, it's my plan. You have to deny, you have to disown who you are. And you have to say, all I want is Jesus. Deny yourself. Then the command, and take up his cross daily. Daily. And then he says, and you follow me. Follow me. See, if we're not going the way of the cross, then we're going our own way. There's only one way, loved one, and that's to take up our cross. Lord, it's no longer my will, but thy will be done. It's no longer about me. It's all about you. Jesus will never lead you where you don't want to go. Believe me. He'll take you. You may think you don't want to go there, but to be in the perfect will of God is always the best place to be. Oh, listen. Talking about leadership here. Listen, how do we answer the world's ridicule when they're mocking you, mocking your walk, mocking what you're doing for God, mocking your ministry, making fun of your pastor, whatever it might be. You know what we do? We keep on working. We keep on building. All we need is what they did, for the people had a mind to work. Now listen, and if you have, it says, let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. If you have his attitude and his mind in you, what are you going to do? You're going to do what he wants you to do. You're going to think like Jesus, react like Jesus. You're going to walk like Jesus. Listen, these people, they had a mind to work and they had a heart to pray. Verse 9 tells us that. Now, whenever the early church, when they faced opposition, you remember what they did when they were commanded not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus Christ? I'm going to put you in prison and so forth. Peter and them, they called a prayer meeting, and it says in Acts 4:29, and here, listen to this prayer. And now, Lord, look on their threats. He didn't say, oh, Lord, protect us, smite them, kill them. No, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Listen, they had a heart to work. They had the heart to work, and they had the heart to pray. Amen? That's what we all have to have. Loved one, listen to me. The night, Jesus said, the night is coming when no man can work. We have to work now. Can you imagine if we were all on the wall together? All of us together. Do you know how much stronger we would be? And when opposition did come, it wouldn't be just 20% of the church facing it. It would be 100% of the church facing it, where we would all stand together as one man with one heart, with one purpose, and that is to serve the Lord and build the wall or whatever he wants us to build. You see, that's what it's about. Jesus said in John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works, that's what we need to do. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Now look at verse 7. And now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, in other words, they were surrounded now, when they heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. Now look what happened. And all of them plotted or conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Why is it that Satan never has a manpower shortage? You ever wonder about that? But the church has a manpower shortage, womanpower shortage. I look and I say, Lord, Satan always works in multiples. He gathers as many people as he can. In chapter 2, verse 10, just 2 oppose the work. In chapter 2, verse 17, only 3 oppose the work. Now we have a multitude opposing the work. In other words, organized resistance. Why? Because critics and those who ridicule always run in packs. Birds of a feather always flock together, especially against a God-given vision, because they don't like change or they don't want it or they don't agree with it, whatever it might be. So what did Nehemiah and the people do? Did they fall apart? Did they quit? No. Look in verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, those that were against them, that was going to attack them, we set a watch or we set a guard against them. How long? Day and night. Now listen, this is the first group prayer recorded in Nehemiah, okay? They all came together, and I love it. They worked, they prayed, they built, and they defended what they were building. Isn't that, I love that, don't you? I mean, they said, listen, no one's going to come in here and tear down what God's given us to do. You see, prayer, loved one, is not a substitute for work. Do you hear that? prayer, boy, prayer is the work, but prayer is not a substitute for work. Well, I'll pray about it and just see what God does. No, you keep on working. You keep on doing whatever God has called you to do. Amen? That's exactly what they did. They prayed, man, and so forth. Leaders and all believers, listen, must be prepared to defend what God has built, what God has used them to build. Are you willing to defend what God has used us to build here? Isn't it sad to see when a believer comes and destroys the walls that God has built in a church? What a sad thing that is. They will answer to God most assuredly for that. A fundamental principle of the Christian life is this. Whenever ridicule comes, whenever opposition comes, loved one, listen, never give up. Don't you ever quit. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he said, men ought always to pray and not quit, not become discouraged, not become faint. Discouragement is always from the wicked one, loved one. No, leaders should always be the last ones to give up. If they're going to give up, let everybody be gone, but don't let the leaders give up. Listen, let me tell you what I've learned in my short life in the ministry. Opposition comes, opposition goes. Ridicule comes, ridicule goes. And you know what? It just comes with the territory, okay? And you know what? I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Don't you lose any sleep over it. You know, don't let other people destroy what God has placed in you. The wall that you're building for God in your own life, in your own marriage, in your own walk, whatever it might be, don't let anyone take it from you. Don't let ridicule or people that cut you down and make fun of you and mock, don't do that at all. Listen, the secret of success, you know what it is simply outlasting your opposition. You know what? You're not going to get rid of me. You know, someone said, it only takes 7 people in the church to make a pastor quit. And I want to say, how about 107, okay? You know, I said, that statistic's not working with old Bill, okay? Because I've already been there, done that. And that doesn't work. I'm going to do what God called me to do because I work for him and you work for him. Man doesn't rule you. God rules you. Opposition doesn't rule you. Ridicule doesn't rule you. The Holy Spirit rules you. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who he did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not freely with him give us all things? Someone penned this. They said that life gets harder toward the summit. The cold gets colder and the wind stronger and the burden of the responsibilities become heavier. You know, there's much I can say about leadership from Nehemiah. But I promise you, loved one, leaders must always be ahead of the followers. They must always be going ahead to find the manna, the green pasture, the areas that the Lord is leading him to. That's what leaders do. And may I tell you that there is a particular loneliness in leadership, and I think as it should be, because ultimately you have to go to the Lord with all of your need. There's no way around it. You have to go and sit at the throne of grace. You have to wait upon the Lord. You have to get his plan and his direction. And the loneliest leader, I believe, of today is the one who knows the time, who's discerned the times, and knows what ought to be done, and yet no one listens and no one cares. What a sad place. It's time for the church to awaken out of sleep. Amen. To wake up and know the hour that is upon us. That we're not trying to be a popular church, but we want to be an effective church. We want to be a church that's ruled by the Holy Spirit of God, led by the Holy Spirit of God. Walk in the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And you cannot do that, and I cannot do that, unless you are aware and know and have fellowship and intimacy with the Holy Spirit of God, where you practice that awareness that he is here, that he is here right now. He's here among us right this very minute.
Well, thanks everyone for beginning your week with us. We appreciate you so very much. And just a quick reminder, Pastor Bill continues his Nehemiah study all this week, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.